Gina, what would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, well, I'd buy you a house. I would buy you a house.
Well, welcome back to Section Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Brennan Cornan, we have Mr. Frank Fay, we have Jay-Z on the board. We got a full house to talk about wild market this morning. S&P Futures up 42. Dow Futures up 451. NASDAQ Futures up 155. This is due to the the 90-day essentially cooling-off period with President Trump and Xi have decided they we're going to have a 90-day cooling off, and they're going to buy a whole bunch of stuff. We're assuming soybeans, but we're not sure. That's been probably the hardest hit agricultural commodity. And we're going to have a we're going to stay at 10% tariff for that 90 days. But if they don't come across in 90 days, it's going to go up to 25%. So I'm going to say it's probably out of all the stuff that I expected to come out of there, it's probably on the minimum end. But it's better than a total blow-up, so the market is celebrating. Gentlemen, Frank, what's your read, buddy?
I'm concerned because I can't find any place where the Chinese have announced anything.
Okay, I don't think for a second that there's actually some truth to this, do you? It's like the Mexican deal.
Well, I'm not going to say anything because I excoriate the man enough, but only one side has made an announcement, as far as I can tell.
And it wasn't much of an announcement. I mean, what I've seen and heard so far is just an agreement that China's going to buy more stuff.
Right. And that they're going to extend 90 days.
Right. That they will just keep the tariffs that are in place now for 90 days without going to the 25% or increasing the tariffs on other goods.
The headline on CNBC, Trump's description of the China trade deal doesn't match the official White House version. So
there's a surprise.
And he just came out with a tweet in the middle of the night saying that they're removing all tariffs on cars, which are 40%. That's his tweet.
What the cars do we import from China?
That we export to China. That China's removing all tariffs on U.S. cars.
Well, don't we have factories over there for the people who... How much does that affect? I'm going to say most of the cars that we sell in China are made over there, correct?
I think they are.
I think they are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, not a whole lot of substance, but I'd rather be long than short. And guess what? I am. Well, it's up to 216, 5309. It seems like if it was up 216, it should be higher than 5309, but that's how far it has fallen. So, anyway, that's a... We got all kinds of stuff that happened this weekend. What's with this... every time I turn on any kind of a internet page, all I see is this: who's this idiot who shot this wolf? I'm going to talk about changing subjects. You guys been seeing this story? There was some wolf that was in some kind of movies or something in the wild. Some guy went and blasted a thing.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. Well, I haven't seen that.
Well, if you all you do is kick up virtually any, whether you use MSN or whether you use Yahoo or whatever, the first thing on a page you hear is poor wolf looking at you. Somebody blasted him for some reason. I mean, we got some interesting creatures in this country, and they're not wolves. They're two-legged. Just saying. So what'd you think about the playoffs? What'd you think about the Bears? What do you guys want to start this morning, for God's sake?
Boy, the Bears played a horrible game yesterday.
Yeah.
Second play of the game. But the Bears could get nothing going.
No.
On offense or defense. I mean, they looked horrible. They couldn't tackle. They couldn't cover. they couldn't do anything.
Yeah,
Now we know why Chase Daniel has been a backup for 9 years.
Well, everybody could have sort of a bad game, but they weren't running very well, and which is kind of interesting. Colin couldn't do anything. They don't like to play Hayward that much. I don't know why. Yesterday he was better.
Howard
Hayward, you know. Then they had the two guys in the NFL who again had the problem with the ladies. What is with this? The cover ups again there. What is with these guys? I don't.
Who, the NFL or the players?
Both.
Yeah, well, the NFL should know better. I'm stunned. It keeps on happening. But, you know, after all, it is football coaches and people who own football teams, and they're not especially enlightened.
Well, the fan base isn't either.
No. But, I mean, the nature of all sports is to be aggressive. Whether you're, you know, you're talking about whatever sport, you're meant to be physically aggressive. And that's just embedded in the culture. But football especially, when you think about how violent that game is, you're teaching these guys from a young age two things. One, to be violent and hit people hard. And then the second thing is that if you're a good enough football player, you will get away with stuff. And, you know, that's just imbued with in the culture for many years. And when something like this happens with their domestic partners or their wives, I think it's more instinctual than anything else. The reaction is that look at Reuben Foster. A guy gets cut by the 49ers, and 2 days later, the Redskins sign him to a contract. He's rewarded. There's no penalty for what he did.
Well, I guess there's a million questions in here, Mr. Attorney. Lou says it's a bad thing to put the employer in the spot of essentially being the law, you know, the policeman.
Mm-hmm.
And either it's a crime or it isn't, and it should be, you know, it's a bad spot for you as an employer to have to start making these kinds of decisions. Now, of course, there are people that are in the public eye, and they're on your team. They represent your organization,
mm-hmm.
but it's a short drop from there to the court of public opinion, which is not really the way we were grown up in this country. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know how you can take somebody's livelihood away from them for doing something they might not even get charged by.
But when you're in a business like that,
I understand.
There's a moral responsibility to the general public. I mean, if you hold yourself out as paragons of society, like the owners of the NFL do, like the owners of most big businesses, not just the NFL do, then, you know, there should be some standard that you're upholding. I understand completely Lou's point, and I agree with it, that the employers should not make a decision about whether or not this guy is guilty. That's one thing. But, you know, for God's sake, if one of your employees is beating people up,
I get it.
Then, you know, you're not making a judgment that the guy is guilty, but at least until you investigate, it's a safety factor. I mean, if it was any other business, if instead of an NFL team, this guy owned a widget factory, would you put him on the floor with other employees if he's demonstrated his tendency to beat up people? Men or women?
But they're not. But they're always women, and they're not in the place.
I'm sorry. What?
Before, Frank is going to understand here for a second. What makes up my mentality? And by the way, it has nothing to do with disagreeing with you, Brent. I agree with you 100%. But when I started on the trading floor, it was about the time Frank was there. There were only like three or four machines on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they weren't even on the floor. They're in the first stop office, because if they were on the floor, they were considered illegal. It was an advantage, right? Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. We couldn't have CNBC on, because they thought it was an advantage in the pit for a long time. You know, that's how crazy things were. But so I had to write up all my spreads on tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd always ask myself, okay, if the stock was 40, I'd say, if the stock goes to 100, do I still want to do it at this price? And obviously, it was a back spread. It was expanding delta. The answer would always be yes, because as it went up or it went down, you'd love it at that price, because it should be a winner there, right? Or there's some that no, if it moves, you don't want to do it. So I always ask myself, if you take this to the extreme, are we heading in the right direction? And if every time there's a domestic violence court, I mean, if we went over and sat this morning, which would not be a nice morning, every single time somebody cracked their wife, or some wife, the wife threw an ashtray and banged it off the husband's head, which happens, by the way, a real lot in society, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. If you were sitting in the back row, and you were the police something something, or the fire something something, or whatever job it was, and the guy is up in front, and he's in front of the judge, and he says to the wife, "What do you want me to do? Tell him not to have me anymore. Tell him to go to rehab." And if the guy says, "Yes, I will," and he walks out, and you say, "Oh, by the way, you're not a policeman anymore. You're not a fireman anymore." I don't know that's your job necessarily. That's why we have a judge. And I'm not so sure you're helping. Because last thing you want is a guy at home without a job drinking. Or her. I mean, I understand the PR part of it. I just don't know where the line is.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that point. But do you remember the movie The Quiet Man
with yep.
John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara?
Remember it. I love it.
And the priest at one point, she's describing that you know she hit her husband. She slapped John Wayne before they were married. And he said, now, you can't do that. You have to wait at least until you're married until he can hit you back.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
You remember
right.
that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it wasn't the priest. It was little, what's his name?
Oh, Barry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was his name? McAleen.
McAleen O'Flynn.
Yeah, McAleen O'Flynn.
Jeez, you guys are old.
Yeah. I love Barry Fitzgerald. He was terrific. He was in the Bells of St. Mary's, wasn't he?
He was.
But
the point is that, I mean, we're talking about different times. And,
yeah.
And there was a time when domestic violence was looked upon, I won't say more favorably, but at least not really looked at. Our society has changed for the better, that we're taking a much more appropriate view of domestic violence. And I understand your point about the employees and employers, especially employers, not making a judgment. But, you know, violence of any kind in the workplace is a much bigger issue now than it was back then.
Well, let's take it one step further. One of your employees is demonstrating against some political party or some person or whatever. And all of a sudden, the thing gets out of hand a little bit, no fault to his. Can you fire him for his because he was in the street and people around him got arrested or somebody else threw a rack and he didn't?
Well,
this goes right down the line here.
I know it's a slippery slope. It's always a slippery slope, and
you mean you're his employer.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Go out there and pick 48 things of strawberries. And I'll pay you $10.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that relationship ends in a lot of ways.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in the scenario you just described, there's a lot of things like First Amendment rights. If they are protesting legitimately for political reasons, can you take away the political speech, or are you punishing that person for political speech?
The answer is
well,
probably
let's say somebody was marching in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that happened. One of the guys lost a job.
That's where the question comes.
Mm-hmm.
And now, number one, what I thought is, are they represented by a union?
Mm-hmm.
Because somehow union contracts used to protect that.
They did. But, you know, going back to the NFL situation, a lot of the contracts for athletes have a morals clause, that if you do something that's immoral, and I'm not going to get into a definition of immoral, what's moral and immoral.
Good luck with that.
but if you do something that's immoral, that brings disrepute upon our organization, our team, then we can fire you, or we can suspend you with or without pay under the circumstances.
Well, that's how they used to get rid of people that were gay.
That's right.
In my youth,
mm-hmm.
or when I was in business. I worked for a company that fired somebody because they were gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a morals clause. That's why you saw a lot of Hollywood actors.
That's why they were fired.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, we have to say, lob out a, not a congratulations. Well, congratulations to his life for George Bush. I always liked him. I all these guys, there's never, when you reach that status, there's never anybody that you can't throw a rack at.
Mm-hmm.
But I think by and large, he was a pretty darn good guy. I mean, he was in the World War II. He was, you know, he was one of that generation, and they by and large did the right thing and were pretty honest and stayed married and had families and I think pretty much were public servants and got along with just about anybody who were able to deal with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly a lot of, but it seems like every single person of that edge, there's always something you can look at it and say, wow, how'd they let something like this happen on their watch when they were like that? I mean, as much as I'm a huge fan of Franklin Roosevelt, the thought of the internment camps on his watch just makes me shudder.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they weren't, I have a strong feeling they were not his idea, but it's just something he never thought, like he had the energy to stop, which, mm-hmm. And I'll always remember, you know, George Bush as being a pretty darn good guy. And, you know, out of all the last presidents, I'd probably like him the best. But, that whole concept of, since Frank brought it up, of him and Reagan being basically their nose up the ass of these ecumenical people.
Mm-hmm.
How many people, because they thought AIDS was a gay disease and we didn't want to spend any money on research because we thought only gays were dying from it, how many people do you think died because of that?
Oh, quite a few. I mean, thousands.
Thousands.
Millions, because you have to look at it from a global scale.
You're right. If you think about what happened in Africa.
R&D is the source of cures.
But I don't know, starting the research essentially 6 years earlier, 7 years earlier, I don't know how much we would have gained at that time, but some.
Would have gained some. But, you know, the very interesting thing about that is that when you think about AIDS as your example of being a gay disease, it didn't impact lesbians as much as it affected gay men. So, I mean, logically, if it was a scourge against gay folks, wouldn't God have chosen it equally?
maybe it's worse to be a gay guy. I could say something, but I won't on that. But
we all could.
Let's put it this way. There's a lot of ladies seem to go one way and then come back. You don't see that too much with guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
But, I mean, I think there's a lot of inconsistencies in the evangelical movement.
Look where they're supporting now.
Exactly.
Well, they've gotten... economics can have an interesting thing on your view of the world. I honestly believe that with this, the market being up today, and by the way, the fact that the World Trade Order didn't fall apart over the weekend is probably a very good thing. So I would have guessed we'd be up today, and I'm happy we're up today. But this whole concept that we have a president, I mean, you know, it's interesting. We come in and we do a podcast, you know, hopefully on a big station soon, but right now we're doing a podcast. We're giving up our time to try and tell the truth as it is, I'm saying. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that when you have a tariff, you are taxing your own people with the hope, I guess, that you're screwing somebody overseas somewhere in the process. And depending on the product, you may be, you may not be. Some of it's passed through, some of it's not. And unless you want to go through it product by product, you can't even really tell where, you know, you can't really tell how much is being eaten by who along the way, if anything. Now, we have a president who's got a much bigger bully pulpit than we do, tweets out that look at the amount of revenue we're getting from the Chinese. How the hell do we compete with that?
Mm-hmm.
A guy at that level telling a flat-out, flat-ass lie. And yet we're trying to say to people, by the way, it's not really true. How do you think we're doing? I don't think so hard.
I think we're on the losing end of that battle.
Yeah. I mean, how do you even begin? Now, if he says it enough times, how many people are actually going to believe him?
Well, I think that's how he's gotten to the point he is right now. About
30%.
Yeah. So if I went around and told everybody...
That was Nixon's lowest approval rate. I heard a very interesting thing by a talking head saying that it appears the core supporters are usually 25 to 30, and they'll be that number that's never convinced they did anything wrong.
But the... why do you suppose the thing has changed? Is that if you were a Republican or you were a Democrat, you essentially were gifted 25-30%, and the other side is gifted 25-30%. There's people who would never vote for a Republican or never vote for a Democrat. I'm going back 30 years. I mean, now it's kind of different. And the whole thing is to not piss off your 25-30% so much that you lose them while you try and go get the other 40%.
And you need 20% out of the middle. If you got 30% that's in your camp, you need 20% plus one to win.
So you got to move toward the middle enough to get those people and mm-hmm. not piss your people off mm-hmm. so much that they dump you.
Right.
And now all of a sudden that isn't the case at all. You just keep pushing your base and doing things for them. And I guess. You don't seem to worry about the middle. I don't. Something's changed here, and I can't my finger on it, and I can't explain it. I mean, when Trump does this stuff, he's losing. Well, I don't have a party right now, but he's losing me every time he lies.
Mm-hmm.
So where does that put me? I'm in the middle, and he doesn't want any part of me.
Right.
So I mean, who exactly is he trying to get other than his base by doing this stuff? Or he just doesn't care, or he's a total narcissist, or he's amoral, which I think he's all the above. But
I think that's more to the point. But I think that what you see in a lot of cases is that you are trying to just support and get the support of your base and figure that if I get 100% of my base out, or if I get 80% of my base out in the election, I will win regardless of how much, to a point, because our base is bigger than your base. Our base is more likely to come out and support me than the other side will.
Well, it's changed, but which is right? If you were going to run, one of us, all three of us were to run tomorrow, which do you think is the better plan, A or B?
Well, I think the better plan, my personal opinion is, the better plan is to be more in the middle. Don't be on either extreme. Don't be totally conservative. Don't be totally progressive. I mean, it scares me that the polarization that we see right now, and what's even worse is that with the election, you know, the Republicans who have been elected or reelected in the Senate and the House are not the middle of the road people. Like when you think about the 2020 senatorial election, one of the most likeliest Republicans to lose is Susan Collins in Maine, who is a moderate. So whether she is replaced by a Democrat, she's probably closer to a Democratic leaning and independent and moderate conservative than somebody like Marsha Blackburn in Tennessee, who was elected this time. I mean, certainly Marsha Blackburn is a much more hardline conservative Trump supporter than Bob Corker is. The parties of the people who are being elected are rewarded for being polarizing.
Okay, but when you say that, here's the issue. I agree with you, which, by the way, you're not supposed to do on radio. but I think in today's world, Brendan, I think you're wrong. The reason why I say that, first of all, I don't want you to be wrong, mm-hmm. because I agree with you, but as Dr. J told me when I started this show a while ago, he said, Chief, nobody wants to pay for information. They only want to pay for affirmation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you're in the middle, you'll have a lot of people who love to listen, and they'll learn a lot because you guys are good. But as a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, I had a station call me, and we're thinking about putting us on, and they listened for 3 days, and guess what they came back with?
What?
I'm not liberal enough. Now, I know Fox isn't putting me on.
Mm-hmm.
And now the other side doesn't want me either.
Mm-hmm.
So what the hell does that mean? So maybe these guys that are – one thing I'll say about everybody in politics, from my acquaintance Mayor Daley on down, Mayor Daley would not want to sit across from me and do a financial thing about selling things for the city, because I think I could outscore him pretty quick on how much the stuff was worth, right? Like mm-hmm. a lot more than people paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, I would never challenge him on his game, which mm-hmm. is politics.
Right.
And those guys – know the game.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously realize that they're dealing with a very polarized society. In the middle is nowhere to be right now.
That's right. I agree with that.
And which is incredibly unfortunate.
But as I understood your question
before... Well, everything
before,
seems to come down to focus groups and polls. Mm-hmm. So that's why the NFL comes down on domestic abuse so quickly when they're caught.
Mm-hmm. Well, they haven't really done that.
We see it again
that,
and again. Can I win the election?
Yeah.
You know, am I catering to my listening audience, my mm-hmm. core listening audience?
But for most people...
They all do it.
For most people... We'll swing back to sports here for a second, but for most people that... I mean, I've played, for an amateur, as much sports pretty much as anybody. I played handball 3 days a week, basketball for like 25 years, in addition to everything else, softball and other stuff. But to me, sports is an amazing outlet for adrenaline.
Yep.
You get out there, you play as hard as you can, you don't ever want to see anybody get hurt, you don't play dirty... Then when it's all over, you feel better about life.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
and
you
can shake hands with your opponent.
That's right. And that's a different program when it starts to become your livelihood, in the sense that everybody caters to you.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares about going to have a beer with you and me and Frank. But if it was, some deep back had just de-nutted some guy, oh, yeah, let's go out with him. He's a football player. I mean, chances are they never go to class. So we put these people on these pedestals. They're like gladiators, for God's
mm-hmm.
sake. And we expect them to be this, these raving, mean guys taking somebody's head off. And 2 seconds later, some of them are capable, like an Alex Karras, like people like that.
Or
Merlin Olsen said, "Gavin, when I got between the lines, I loved it. And as soon as I walked off, I realized the world was not a football game."
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, but that's not. All of a sudden, now the NFL wants these people to be like that, and then the minute they do something wrong, they're not supposed to be like that,
mm-hmm.
and yet. I'm an attorney friend. It said if there wasn't an NFL, you'd need another jail.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know.
Well, that was the point that I was trying to make earlier
yeah.
about that. That was exactly the right point, that you're fostering a violent society in the realm of football, and you expect them to turn it off as soon as they get off the field.
But it's more how they're treated off the field, I think, than it is the game itself.
Well, they're rewarded. You're right. They're rewarded with that, with ideas of how great they are and what they can get away with. Because, okay, Johnny's a great DB, so we'll let
hang
him
on
get
to that. Brennan, SP Futures now up 38. Dow is up 427. Nancy Futures up 150. We're still way, way up. Maybe down a couple of points. All up $2. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-401. 8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, you can't hold it at all. That's the thing. Hello, hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. Brendan and I are talking sprinting science. Me and sprinting shouldn't even be in the same sense, but, well, what are we talking about? S&P futures up 38 and a quarter, Dow futures up 427, NASDAQ futures up 150, oil up $2, 52.93, 10-year yield 3.3037. So it's up a little bit, but still nowhere near back to the 3.25 it was. But that's not moving on these numbers, which kind of, surprised me just a tad. DAX up 248, 2.2. FTSE up 122, 1.6. CAC around up 51, 1 point, just plain 1. So they're lagging a little bit. Over in Asia, we got rallies here as well. We got Nikkei up 223, that's 1%. Shanghai up 66, 2.5. Hang Seng up 675, 2.5. So they're 27,182. Shanghai is 2654. I think for some of these people, we'll talk about it with Frank after I'm done with this, is that if you got your soybeans that basically got ruined on you, I think they're still ruined. I don't think it helps you all that much. Well, like I said, it's up $2. Brent up 2.25, 52.93 and 61.70. So we're talking about a $9.60 spread. Natural gas 4.38, down 2 cents. RBOB 1.45. Home heating oil up 5 cents to 1.88. By the way, gentlemen, guess what? I was able to purchase gasoline for yesterday morning, and I needed 35 gallons in the Suburban.
How much?
Gold up 870, silver up 23 cents. Big moves there. $1.91.
$1.91?
Yeah.
Wow.
City boy, what do you think it is here in the city? You under $3 yet?
Nope.
Can you, man? But why does nobody check into that? Anyway, Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports, and we'll talk about gas prices in the city.
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:37. Chicago is cloudy today. Expect snow flurries throughout the day. Today's high is 35 with a low of 28. Phoenix is partly cloudy right now and will continue that throughout the day. Today's high is 63 with a low of 42. Football last night. The Bears lost to the Giants with a final score of 30-27. In basketball, the Suns lost to the Lakers 120-96. And finally, the Blackhawks. Game ended 2-3 in favor of the Flames. One accident to report on Archer Avenue. The car is overturned, causing some traffic. Nothing else to report. Back to you.
Gold is a big move here this morning. 870. Everything's to the moon here. Frank, what the damage done? And I've beat him enough. If you're the president, do you think you fixed everything here? Well, there's people that have had some really, like, a whole bad summer. How many bankruptcies last week? Did you send me a tweet and say how many bankruptcies were in farm territory? Was that the guest we had on, Jay-Z?
No, it was the guest you had.
Yeah, and how many people he knew were bankruptcies in the last 3 months in the farm area? That doesn't mean these guys get all their money back at their farm back, does it? I think not.
Nope.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, there've been articles for a couple of weeks about people storing soybeans in piles in their fields or their yards, you know, the farm yards, covered with plastic. They can't sell it. So we're up about, we've had a move up from about 850, but we're at a high for about 3 months. But people are skeptical right now because the South American soybeans come in line in about a month. They'll start shipping about January 1st. So we'll wait and see. And there's a spread between Brazilian soybeans and U.S. soybeans that's been narrowing over time. So there's also market forces taking place. I don't know. These people are not confident.
No, and I just so you know what we're talking about, we're not just lobbing criticism out. When you have something that's a degrading, just for example, my brother and I used to, well, we need to make a trip too. We're due to Ohio. We still have some older relatives out there from my Italian side. We drive through Central Ohio on the way to Columbus. We always take the local routes. If you see a grain elevator and you see an especially good year, you'll see massive piles of corn essentially outside. Now, I'm thinking that they're going to be outside for a week or two, gang, maybe, you know, because it's not the optimal way. Let's just say it's the optimal way if you happen to be a field mouse. But, I mean, these things are they're degrading. So the idea there is you're going to end up getting your covered hopper cars piling in there on the train siding, and you're going to unload the stuff from inside. Then you're going to be able to put this inside your towers or whatever you want to call them. What do you call those things?
Silos.
Silos, and you're good to go. I mean, it's not like you want to put a tarp over those things and leave them there all winter. I mean, the degrading you're going to get, not only the insects and the mice eating it, but the degradation is dramatic. Now, you're going to lose. So now, if you're in Minnesota and you've got this soybeans that you normally ship to Seattle, because you got rail up there, you don't really have barge, unless you're near the Mississippi River, which, you know, you're probably not. So, if you have a basis risk to start with. So if soybeans at the Board of Trade are $10, you don't get to, this is the part that I think everybody needs to understand, and maybe the president needs to understand. You don't get to go to the Florida Board of Trade and sell your soybeans. You can sell a soybean future that has a date, it has a grade, right, Frank? I mean, what is the
right? Well, and the price is based on a designated port, so yeah. You got to get it to that port where you're going to ship it.
I'm going to say what is corn number two something, and it's in Marseille, right? Right. So if your corn is no longer number two, if it's starting to be a little saggy, and guess what, you're in bum behind Minnesota, you're not getting $3.50 a bushel. You're going to get, if you can get it down there by truck, well, that's going to cost you a couple of bucks a bushel or a buck a bushel. You know, by the way, the grade's not so hot. You're lucky to get two.
There's moisture content.
Yeah,
then there's moisture content. You got to throw that in. I mean, they have all these different standards for it. It's tough. And you throw in the fact that we've had record corn and soybean crops
right.
in the Midwest this year. So that would be pushing the ability to store. And if you're not selling anything or selling less, then it truly starts stockpiling. These people are in a world of hurt.
I think the way this comes in, and I don't have to beat up this point too much, but this is a serious business. And when you come in with a covered hopper of corn, isn't the way they do it, guys, where you take the, it's like a big straw, and people stick it at all four mm-hmm. corners, and they stick one in the middle, right? So they take the four things and they dump them out on a table, and they see how much stuff's crawling, how much moisture's in it, and they grade your stuff, right, Frank?
Mm-hmm.
And the most you're gonna get is the price at the Board of Trade. But you have this basis risk. For these guys to beat up on these farmers for, let's say, 8 months or however long it's been, for them to lose a year and now have stuff in storage that's degrading, and maybe not tomorrow. That doesn't mean the train car shows up tomorrow, does it? The China heading away. Well, you have containers now. Show my age, but that doesn't mean you load up the container tomorrow and expect Burlington Northern to be at your door tomorrow morning to pick it up, right?
No, not at all.
So you have to be careful when you have. You know, I'm not going to accuse anybody because I'm not. You know, I've been a vocal critic of the Chinese way they do business, but the president, I think. Well, I don't know, who knows, him or Navarro, what they think, I have no idea, but I think most people need to understand that there's been a dramatic cost in this, even if we end up with, quote, a better deal. It's like a union going on strike for 6 months to get an extra dime an hour. I mean, do the math.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the problem you have when you talk about politicians right now, and especially like in wars and so forth, none of their kids go.
Right.
And Trump doesn't own a farm that's up for bankruptcy. It's always easy to tell somebody else to suck one up,
mm-hmm.
right? Same way with the people with the tariffs right now. They're telling everybody, take one for the team. Well, but, I mean, they're not taking one for anything, right? They're doing fine. And there's always, you should always take one for the team. You know, your kid should be a war hero, but not my kid. I mean, mm-hmm. We're becoming like Rome in that. Our people that make the decisions are not part of the decisions. I mean, the Federal Reserve has no friggin' clue. I mean, in terms of really, they're all tenured professors someplace, right? And then they got this job at the at the Fed, and they're going to write back and be a tenured professor or better. If they do something or harm somebody for 4 to 6 months, I mean, Paul Volcker, his kids and dad didn't work in a savings and loan and went out of business, did it? Did they? Hey, that was just the price we had to pay. Mm-hmm. But Paul, you didn't pay any price, did you? Well, no, not really.
Well, the same thing is true with a lot of the bankers in the economic downturn a few years ago, 10 years ago. They weren't the ones who really paid the penalty.
No, and they never do.
And none of them went to jail.
But, I mean, there was a time when there was a war, regular people's kids got killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And now that's not the way we do it. I mean, which isn't to say...
Well, especially now since there's no draft. I mean, if you went back to the years when there was a draft, it was a better likelihood. But then you had a lot of the deferments. And guess who got the deferments?
Bone Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, which isn't to
say... Guess who got in the National Guard and got to fly a $3 million airplane.
Yeah.
I tried like hell to get in the National Guard. I couldn't.
Yeah, but Bush
I'm connected.
Bush's record, the National Guard, if you were connected, you didn't do much in the National Guard. I'm not saying what he did or didn't. I don't know anything about his record, but I'm saying there was National Guard and there was National Guard. But now, those guys have all had tours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're in the...
Multiple tours.
Yeah, but if you're in the mechanics, you know, tank mechanics group in somewhere Ohio, you've probably been over there twice.
Yep.
And you didn't sign up for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and what's even weirder is the whole town is part of it. They all go.
Mm-hmm.
So if a bomb goes off there, you have, you know, multiple deaths in one town, which is not so hot either. Anyway, we still huge rally here this morning, though. We're trumpeting that. We're talking about George Bush, who we liked, and we're also talking about some of the bad stuff, which you need to do. But by and large, I think he was a terrific American, and we could share more of. Are you guys going to go out and do a parachute jump on your 80th birthday?
I will. I love that idea.
I love that marathon. Idea.
Yeah, and when you land, you have to start the marathon. Exactly right.
I'm with Matty Weber. There's two ways I'm not going to die: eaten by a shark or jumping out of an airplane. S&P futures up 39.
I did that once already. God.
Oh god!
Me
Dow
too.
Futures. You got eaten by a shark?
Yeah, didn't you know?
Oh god!
I've jumped out of a plane.
I have no interest. Nasdaq futures up 152. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same
research professionals have used for more than 3 decades. Call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription. Or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tim Howell, Mr. Brennan Cornell, Mr. Frank Fahey, and Jay-Z, Jessica Lucy on the board. So, Jay-Z, how was Iowa?
Fantastic. It was a lot of fun. Iowa City is an interesting place.
You behaved enough to made it where you made it back, at least.
Yes, exactly.
Just enough?
Always.
Oh, God. Jay-Z is one of the everything in moderation, including moderation kind of girls. is that true, Jay-Z?
I mean, if you say so, it has to be,
oh,
right?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I've heard that what happens in Iowa City stays in Iowa City.
Yes, yes.
It's all the way up there with, isn't that Las Vegas' famous thing?
Yes. Whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I got the funny story, clean one, about Vegas. There used to be I don't know what they have anymore, but there was a DC-10. A United DC-10 that flew every Sunday back from Vegas at 3 o'clock, and basically the people who partied hardy were on that plane. Like, you know, if you didn't party as hardy, maybe you'd say you want to get home and do some work, you get on one earlier, because you lose 2 hours coming back, right? So you're piling in the airport at 8:30 or 9, but if you're having a rough Saturday night, that's as soon as you get to the airport. So I'm sitting in the middle chair, and all of a sudden this guy's kneeing me in the back, right? And it's one of my buddies that worked on the Nancy Sheehan campaign with me. And he starts telling me somebody had a stag party out there, so he drags everybody out to the stag party. You can only imagine. I didn't want to get into that part. But the weird part was one of the guys is still trashed, and it's like 7 in the morning. So the guy wanders out of Caesar's Palace or wherever the hell they were in the cab line, and there's this family, and they get in the cab, and he hops in the front seat. And so they go, they drive, and he's BSing with the cab driver, and the family goes out to Hoover Dam. They wanted to see Hoover Dam. So the guy gets out at Hoover Dam, and it's like 100 degrees already, and the family wanders off, and the cab driver said, well, I thought you were with the family. The family goes, I thought he was a friend of the driver. And the timing was just perfect when he gets into the cab. So he's out there, this before cell phones, he has to get to the payphone, he calls these guys at the hotel, and he goes, you guys got to come get me. He goes, well, where are you? He goes, I have no idea. All I know is there's concrete all over the place and there's water. You're at Hoover Dam, you idiot. How'd you get out there? So you had to go out and get him. You had to run a car and go get him. But that was probably the cleanest story of the weekend. I think the stag parties were kind of full contact. But I want to get into that. But I'm just saying, whatever stays in Vegas or goes on in Vegas. But so, Frank, we've got, is this a sell here? Or is this, we hang here till the end of the year? We go up from here? What are we doing?
What we're doing right now is waiting to see if the Chinese announce. Right now it all is Trump says. We have nothing beyond tweets.
Well, we know he's not going to, well, he says he's not going to impart the 25%, which was going to happen, what, like this week?
January 1st.
January 1st. So now he's saying another 90 days on that, right? So he's kind of going with you bluster, 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 take a small victory, if at all, and then everything's good again. And then
for example, on the eggs, they're waiting for the Chinese to start buying.
Right.
Yeah, because that was part of the deal, that they would buy more stuff.
Right. And the Chinese haven't said anything yet. So if nothing's said, I think we could go back to yesterday's or Friday's levels.
That'd be a big.
I mean, the trend's up right now.
Trump's description of the China trade deal, doesn't match the official White House version, according to CNBC. So, there.
So if I, what I would predict is if somebody has a large single or concentrated stock holding, they should get a hold of PTI Securities and talk about a collar to protect their returns this year.
I would agree. I tell you what, if with the gold move this morning and with the XLE move this morning, I'm going to be rolling puts, boy. We're going to be rolling puts up before the smoke clears on at 9 o'clock this morning. I think we're going to have adjusted some stuff and been very happy about it. Just saying.
Right. And be wary. You know, yeah. Trade with a plan. That's the people's biggest downfalls. So if you've, you know, made it somewhat of a profit, if you're back to where you went it out, get out of some of it.
Oh, know? Frank,
and
now nobody
does. If you didn't have a goal, work on it.
Nobody does that. Now, you know, this is the scourge of every trader, even professional trader, Brendan. You buy something at 80, it goes down to 60, then it goes back to 80 and back to 60, and you say the trader's prayer. God, if it ever gets back to 80, I promise this time I'll sell it at 80. If it goes back up there, you can't do it because now it's going to 90. Right? Mm-hmm. You can't do it. No,
exactly.
Isn't that the truth?
I mean, how many times would the three of us been priests if we you know, lived up to that promise?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I was right in the first place. I was right in the first place. The prayer, just if it gets back here, I promise I'll sell it. It gets back there, and you never sell. But at least you can cover. You can do something else. You can do puts or calls or whatever. Hey, did you guys watch the Alabama-Georgia game?
No, but it was I didn't see the game.
They were down two touchdowns and ended up winning. The kid, the quarterback at his, I thought this guy left.
No, he was an underclassman last year. He came in the second half last year to win the game.
No, I'm talking about the guy who finished the game. Isn't he the guy that when they benched him, he quit and said he was
Hurt?
Going somewhere else? Yeah.
No, that was Clemson.
Well, that was a Clemson guy. Yeah. All right. So Hurt gets benched. This other guy comes in. Somebody steps on his ankle. Didn't look so good. It doesn't look like he was totally ripped up, but it didn't look like he was going to play anymore that day. This guy comes in, and they're down two touchdowns, and all of a sudden Georgia kind of puts their head in the sand a little bit, and they end up winning, which is pretty interesting. Now, would you have why do I have this feeling, this is just me, it's one man's opinion, that despite their warts, the only team that can beat Alabama, possibly personnel-wise, is Ohio State, in my opinion. Is that opinion wrong or no? Clemson maybe can, I guess.
Clemson maybe could.
But I think Ohio State is better than Oklahoma, but why do I think that? I'm just a Big Ten fan or what?
You're a Midwest kind of guy?
Boy, Ohio State lost by 29 to Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
I mean, so...
But they also scored 69 against too. Michigan.
Well, I mean, they've had issues this year, obviously. But I mean, personnel wise, Alabama's going to get, you know, the number one draft, most picks going to the NFL. I'm going to say Ohio State's probably two. They are every year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, you know, Georgia. Would you have put Georgia back in instead of one of those two teams? I don't know if you do that.
But do you really want to have a national championship game potentially between Alabama and Georgia again?
Well, it comes
third
down to
third game this year. No. Mm-hmm.
Well, so, you got to think about it that way too.
Well, you've got the theory now that you actually now have three of the five big conferences represented. If you had put Georgia in, you wouldn't even have a majority represented with Notre Dame in there.
Right.
So the chalk is, because I was reading something about it, you know, these guys are all a bunch of weenies because they refuse to take a two-loss team, even if they're better than a one-loss team.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets right down to this. You could have 64 people in this playoff, and somebody's going to say the 65th team could have won. I mean,
exactly,
you know,
right.
But
well, look at what happened with Loyola last year. They had to win their conference championship in order to get in, and they wound up going to the Final Four. You are always going to have that argument. And every time you have, like Butler a few years ago, get into the national championship game, the argument is, see, a weaker team or a smaller conference team can go all the way.
Well, basketball is a little different, I think.
True. I'll grant that. But I mean, the point is that you can always have that same argument that the 65th team or the fifth or sixth place team in the rankings should be the one to go. Or you expand the playoffs to eight teams, and then you're going to have the same argument for the ninth or the tenth team.
Well, right. And by the way, kids that are not getting paid really should play a 20-game season. You know, right?
Of course.
I mean, maybe 30. But that's
and I think they can go to two games a week. They can,
yeah.
there's plenty of time between Saturday and Wednesday to get healed.
And then, by the way, cut the amount of scholarships down so to save the school some money. So let's have 40 guys play two games a week or 30 guys or something. SB Futures Stop 30. Frank, thank you very much, buddy. Talk to you later in the week, probably, with this crazy stuff. By the way, we're off Wednesday now, right? Markets are closed, I believe.
I have no idea.
I think we are. Well, we'll talk about it. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everyone, back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe, Mr. Brennan Cornan, Jay-Z on the board. SP Futures up $40. NASDAQ Futures up $152. Dow Futures up $450. Oil up 198, call it 2 hours, 10-year yield 3.04. Whenever you describe, you know, essentially an incredibly full life, like somebody like the original George had, it's always like people get drafted in these camps, and they have people that, that sort of follow them, and it is somewhat interesting how you, you trace the good and the bad. And I think that he, on balance, his was remarkably good, Brennan. You just wonder, why are things really fair, sort of, in this country? When the guy, he gets in, he was, you know, a bona fide war hero, and he got involved in some oil company early on, didn't he?
Yes.
And then he ended up...
Well, he moved to Texas. You know, he grew up in Connecticut and moved to Texas and got into the oil business.
Now, what do you suppose the push was for that? I mean, it's not something people normally do in Connecticut, especially, you know, the war heroes and the whole bit, which he was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why, you know, I think, it was never anything I would have thought about doing. Let's go to Texas, get in the oil business, become J.R. Ewing. I mean, but you end up down there, and he ends up, he was representative of what, he was 2 terms of a congressman, right, from Texas?
Mm-hmm. He lost a senatorial bid twice, but he was elected as a congressman for a couple of terms. And just fell into the Republican system. As you know, he was CIA director. He was an ambassador to what was it? Was
the UN. The UN.
UN.
And I think maybe someplace else, but UN for sure. And
I think it might have even been China.
Might have been. Yeah, I think it was. But I'm trying to do the guy's biography from memory. But the CIA. I mean, he never really rocked the boat at the CIA. And when it looked like the CIA had all kinds of criticism, I forget what the issue was, he resigned. Mm-hmm. He didn't stay and say, I'll fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And he got enough, you know, push in Texas where he knew all the right people, which I'm not saying, I mean, I know a lot of people too. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't know as many as he did, but and all of a sudden, you know, the son ends up, who's the super partier before age 40.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody could talk about that. Now, that would never fly today. You know, you can't touch my life before a certain date. You know, I reformed at age 45. The first 45 years is off limits.
Now, I don't think I disagree with that. I disagree with that because when you look at the stuff that was turned out about Trump going back to his 20s and 30s, the things are fair game. Now, admittedly,
I'm saying it wasn't for Bush. He got away with it.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, but also, I'm not so sure that at some point you do have. And I agree with Lou on this regarding even the Supreme Court nominee. At some point, you do get a package of things that you've done in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
That I mean, there's a yin and a yang. Does somebody ever really change? Or but obviously, George never went back to the booze or the drugs or anything like that. I don't think.
No.
So I mean, yeah, he. But I mean, George on his own was not going to be the head of the Rangers.
Nope.
I mean, did he put up nickel one for the Rangers? I'm going to say no.
He didn't put up a whole lot, but he was probably in the right spot at the right time. Yep.
And all of a sudden, now these other guys, I mean, I could see, I know, without going into names, let's just say if you dig into the history of the Stardust Hotel, which was essentially a Chicago mob joint, because they were hooked up with the Fremont, and they did all the, I won't say all, but they were the people who, when the line came out of Vegas, essentially hooked all the bookies together in Vegas. Read the TV show Crime Story. It's essentially the Tony Spilatro story, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who said, we can hook all the bookies in the country together through Las Vegas, and we'll get all the layoff business. When we get the line out of there, we'll essentially organize all the individual bookies.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that. Okay, and the Stardust was kind of a part of that. Well, they ran into some problems, and my stepfather worked for a company, which will go nameless, and the chairman of the company was from Switzerland. And they put this guy as the chairman. He had an impeccable record, and his was the name where they switched the gambling license to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so George Bush is straight as all get out. All these other guys got dough. They want to be in baseball. They thought the Rangers were a good buy, which I'm sure they were at the time. And they all pile in, and we don't want to be the face man. You're the face man.
Was this the movie track for, was it Casino?
Well, I don't know, but the TV story was probably. But it was,
I think it was Casino. It was the same thing. I mean, it was the exact same story.
Well, because that's essentially what the Chicago mob did. Mm-hmm. Is because the other gambling was out there ahead of them. It was the New York map where they got the Riviera, and, I mean, not the Riviera, at the Flamingo. But you see, the regular gambling was already there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the, I mean, I remember the one day, this was so bizarre, Brennan. It was, I go out jogging back when I was in shape, and I decide I'm going to put, the Cubs are playing Pittsburgh. This is, it'd be the late 70s. When was, Larry Bird and,
79.
Yeah, 79. So, I piled into Churchill Downs, which was a pull-in, kind of a shopping center, much easier to get into than going all the way to Stardust. These guys take a bet on anything. And you go in there and you bet, and there's all these old geezers, you know, playing the horses, and everything's a chalkboard up there, and I got a bunch of TVs going. Not the big flat screens either. You know, hot dogs are $1.50 in the bat for the world's best hot dog, you know, beer's $1. So, there's this huge long line on a Sunday morning, you know, there I am, naive as could be, even though I was, you know, I knew how to gamble. I'm going to put my $25 down on the Cubs. The guys in front of me, in the front of the line, all of a sudden the guy's got, he must have had $4,000 in the hundreds. Ding, 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 ding. They count him out. Okay, Celtics. Next guy's like $5,000. Lakers. I mean, I'm sitting there going, these guys are doing all the layoff business for all their guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I mean, there must have been 15 guys and nobody put down less than $4,000, all cash. Boom, 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 boom. I get up to my hand, the guy, by $25. He looked at me like, I felt like I was a cockroach. What are you doing here? Get out of here. Who do you want, the Cubs? Who the hell are they? Hey, get out of here. Call it a hot dog. Like, just say it was not my finest hour. You know, but I mean, the money was flying. I mean, everybody had their spot where they call a guy. And, I mean, people have to have the cash because you have to put the cash down.
Mm-hmm.
So the theory of this, for those who may not know, is if you're a bookie, say in Chicago and the Bears are playing, and you're going to get, in the state of, you know, the points are 7.5. Okay, well, you're going to get 5,000 or 10,000 bet on the Bears and 5,000 bet on the Packers. So if you are a bookie, you take the 5,000 that are matched up, you're going to get 10% of the winning one, right? So you're going to make $1,000. Or if you're now, but as soon as you keep the other five and don't lay it off, you now become an investor. So the smart bookie takes the stuff that's matched off and sends the other $5,000 on to Vegas. So he's a wash on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but the stuff that's matched up, you make your 10% at. Am I correct?
Yep.
See, I mean, all this stuff, you know, it's not like trading, but the mental calculation is the same. So they said if we could do that with every bookie in the country and everybody give them a number to call in Vegas and they could lay it down, they essentially would get out of the... Because how many times bookies used to go broke? I mean, it was like 90% of the bets are on the Bears. And so everybody take it. If the Bears won, the guy was out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to do that. Anyway, so Brennan, we've got crazy stuff happening with the Chinese deal. There's no response from the Chinese yet. We have... The headlines just keep coming. Trump auto tariff tweet list stocks. Beijing remains silent. We've got Trump and Xi's truce risk extending, but not ending trade war. So now, what was supposed to have been done by January 1st is now another 90 days. Correct?
April 1st. We moved to April 1st.
And to be honest with you, Brennan, I mean you're the attorney. You and Lou. Oh boy. How is it? It seems to me that in this day's age, and I've said this before, when we're talking about stealing the corporate, you know, whatever, the plans and things like that, whatever you want to call it, it's morphed from Trump and Bannon and these guys thinking of the old days where you're stealing Microsoft software, which, by the way, was an abomination and should have been allowed to happen. I mean, I get that part. But now when you're talking about the Chinese coming in and buying a company,
mm-hmm.
and we're saying... It's going to be okay for him to buy the company because if the example I used Friday was PTI Securities. Okay, we'll come in and give you $100 million for PTI Securities. And I'd go, gee, I knew we were doing pretty well, but
where do I sign?
$100 million. Where do I sign? You know, type of thing. And then all of a sudden somebody says, well, you can't buy Tom Howe's knowledge on the option business. You can't buy Dan Howe's knowledge on the agriculture business because he was on a trade floor for 5 years. You can't quiz him about corn, because now that's intellectual property, and you don't get to know that. Now that probably wouldn't happen for us for that kind of knowledge, but you know it probably wouldn't happen if it was a copying machine. But what if it's an airplane wing?
Mm-hmm.
Now the question is, We're not going to say that the Chinese can't buy any companies here, because why do you buy the companies? You buy it for what they own. Mm-hmm. And if they own the plans to, you know, some specific microscope that is needed in the medical business, guess what? If you buy the place, you get the microscope.
Get it.
I mean, so either we're going to say the Chinese...
As well as all the plans on how to make it. You don't have to reverse engineer it. You got it.
Yeah. So either we have to say you can't sell your place to Chinese for these 200 products, whatever they are. And I don't even know what they would be, Brendan. I mean, I'm so far out of it. But, you know, any of the software behind the F-35 or the 780, I could probably start listing, you know, 10 things, but I'd run out of gas. I mean, Luke could probably do 100 because he's more involved in the military and so forth. But by and large, the criminality has to come from this end, I think. You can't sell your place to the Chinese if you're involved in these 50 industries.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, you can't sell the wing of the 787 because the same damn wing we're putting on the new, our new bomber that we haven't even thought. So no, but I mean, it's if Trump isn't willing to do that and just running around like a big bazoo, what are we gaining? I mean, the problem is with Boeing. The problem is not with you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And are we going to say to Boeing, you can't give them anything, and if they go buy Airbuses because they will, it's just tough.
Mm-hmm.
Are we willing to do that? I've seen no solution to any of this stuff other than somebody posturing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you name, you know, 50, we can just say, you're not going to get any aerospace technology, you're not going to get any drug technology, you're not going to get any smart car or driving car technology. Rattle them off.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes Boeing's charge. I mean, why should somebody from overseas who says, hey, how about selling me that? And the answer is yes, and they take it. Why should they be? As much as I can't stand the way the Chinese do business, why is that their crime?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where am I wrong here?
The other interesting point is, though, is how far down the chain do you go? I mean, you could put in place a law that says you can't buy Microsoft or you can't buy Boeing. But what about a third-tier supplier who, you know,
That's my point. Yeah,
exactly right. I mean, when you get to the third wing or third level sub supplier who has a critical component for a new wing or a new some electronics for an airplane, how do you provide that they can't buy that company if that, you know, the business for the airline is just a small portion of their business?
But that's why people, unfortunately, buy other companies.
Mm-hmm.
To I'm going to say three reasons. One is we control prices,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Second, maybe if we're bigger, we can beat up on the supplier a little more, maybe. Or three, they got something we can't make or don't feel like reinventing. We'll just buy it from them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't change.
Right.
I mean, that's been around since the Stone Age,
mm-hmm.
right? So, okay, Trump, understand that. But that's the three reasons now. Are you going to say that you can't buy a company to get their stuff? I'd be fine with that. I have no problems not letting Chinese firms buy stuff over, but that's what we should do.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing now with tariffs, why the farmer got his ass kicked on this instead of Boeing, I have no idea. If we're that pissed off at Boeing for selling them or giving them the plans to the 787, why are we spanking the farmer?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it should be Boeing's issue.
Mm-hmm.
Or Caterpillar or whoever. I mean, let's try and match the discipline to the person who did it. Wouldn't that be novel?
That would be a novel idea.
Where am I going now as an attorney? How would you do this? How would you even start?
Well, you know, you talked about this earlier in the day, and it's the political perception versus the reality or the business risk. When you're looking at the politics, the optics, it's a lot better to say that we're beating up on the Chinese, even though you're not looking to see who really is getting punished. Is it the farmer, and what did the farmer do to get into that situation? Or is it the corporations who are selling their secrets?
Well, I know for sure that if you have somebody, either by, you know, whatever reason, you got a little league game and somebody drops a baseball on your windshield and it's broken, you're paying 10% more than you did 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're paying. Mm-hmm. Now, did you give intellectual property to the Chinese? I'm thinking no. But you're paying.
Yeah, I'm not following this. I'm sorry.
Well, there's a tax on, a 10% tax on some of the auto glass, a lot of that's made in China.
Mm-hmm.
So we happen to know somebody here at PTI that's been in the auto glass business for, you know, four generations. Their suppliers raised the price to them by 10% of every piece of auto glass they buy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say, you know, let's say half of it's made in the U.S. and half. The U.S. people just gleefully said, okay, you're going up 10%, we're going up 10% too.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so if you have to buy in a windshield tomorrow, you're, guess what? It's up 10%. So you're paying. Now, did you give any intellectual property to the Chinese? I'm thinking no.
No, but tariffs are inherently unfair.
Right, but, well, we have a president who thinks that the Chinese are paying this price.
Mm-hmm, but they're not.
His tweet last Friday was, we're making millions of dollars off the Chinese.
Mm-hmm, but that's not true.
Well, I get that part. I get that part.
And because that baseball went through the windshield, then you're putting another American, you're creating another American job for the guy who has to make that windshield. So we won.
Well, I mean, if 80% of them are coming from China, and a 20% here, just instead of saying we'll keep ours where we were, and this is what's, I don't think I can get this across to anybody is anywhere near as forcefully as I'd like to. Every single product, Brandon, has a different curve. If 80% of the windshields are coming in from China, and 20% are here, our guys can just say, "Wow, looks like we just got a 10% price increase,"
mm-hmm.
Or they can say, we'll hold ours where they are, and guess what? We'll try and steal 5% more of the business. So by this time next year, it'll be 75-25. Now, that is somewhat the theory that Trump mm-hmm. was going on. But the theory is very naive.
Yeah.
Because depending on which industry you're in, it may work out that way. That our guy now, instead of saying, I can go up 10%, I'll stay here. I'll eat it a little bit. But by the way, we'll sell more. Okay, which means I make more money probably. Okay, but it's not the same. Is just saying, wait a minute, we shipped 5,000 windshields last year at you know, $300 a windshield. Now, next year we're going to sell 5,000 at $330. I'll just do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't know what the deal is. Now, if you're bringing 20% in from China, 20% from Korea, 20% from Vietnam, that type of thing, and they're not raising theirs, I'm going to say the Chinese eat the whole 10%. And you mm-hmm. are absolutely screwing the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
To where the guy's saying, oops, this thing just went up 10%, I'm now selling mine for 270 because 300 is all anybody will pay or they'll get them somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So in that particular case, you in fact are screwing the quote Chinese. But even that, even the guy you're screwing on the windshields is probably not the guy who's stealing the Boeing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you're screwing the wrong Chinaman too. Right? So you're not only screwing the wrong guy who put the baseball through the windshield, you're probably screwing the wrong Chinaman. He never stole it, Eddie. I don't think the windshields are that incredible of a technology, you know, 80 years after they were invented. Do you? Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But so you're screwing two people. They're the wrong person in both spots.
Yep.
But isn't that the beauty of it, I guess?
But it sounds good to say that we're screwing them.
Yes.
We're getting retribution.
Yes. I, you know, whatever. You watch this stuff happen and you say, Brandon, we should be too old for this. And mm-hmm. yet we're not. We're going through the same sort of shit, basically, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, you know, this gets back to the same discussion about what's going on with the new NAFTA,
yeah.
the trade agreement among Mexico, Canada, and the United States right now. We don't know what's in that agreement. You know, we've heard the administration say, what was there before was the worst deal ever. I've fixed it. Now it's the best deal ever. But a lot of the reports that I've read and heard about say that there are minimal changes between what we had for NAFTA and what is being proposed right now. And even though the presidents of Canada or the prime minister and the president of Mexico and Trump signed the agreement over the weekend, it is not effective yet. It has to be approved by the legislatures in all three countries. But the summary reports are that I've seen is that there is very minimal change in the basic tenets and provisions of that agreement compared to what we had in NAFTA.
It's like nothing. The auto part thing, and there's something about the dairy, and there might be a little bit. But there's thousands of lines in that thing. You think these guys went through and did the work and changed them all?
No, but none of them are also articulating what changed to the benefit of the country, other than the fact that it's a new agreement right now, and I, Donald Trump, did this. So I've made your life as Americans much better.
Well, in deference to our girl, Jay-Z, who was regaling me with conspiracy theories this morning. And said she was talking to a guy that's way worse than me or Wayne. So she insulted us. So now I have to think of a conspiracy theory. Jay, this is for you. I don't know if you read this morning, I was up early, if he doesn't get his NAFTA deal, the one they just signed, through Congress, he's going to unilaterally cancel the old deal, which, by the way, was passed by Congress and doesn't really have an end date to it.
Mm-hmm.
It says either side can get out in 6 months. It doesn't say that if it's approved by Congress, the president can unilaterally drop it. Okay, so now this is a legal question. So now you have the undercurrent to a lot of what's going on here, and I'm kicking myself here. I hope I'm wrong. Nobody speaks more than I do when they hope they're wrong. I think there's an undercurrent of constantly denutting Congress here and making, you know, Trump really believes that I honestly believe this. Trump really believes he should be like on You're Fired or whatever the thing was.
Absolutely, Apprentice.
That he should be a dictator.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that completely. And he does not understand the idea of checks and balances in our system.
So he thinks he's gonna declare this thing null and void, the old one.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so now there's no precedent for it, mm-hmm. none whatsoever, from what I'm reading anyway. Of course, somebody might find one, some lawyer better than this guy. So say there's no precedent for it, now it's going to go to the courts. Suppose it goes to the Supreme Court, and the guy he just put on is the swing vote and says, yeah, he can do it. Well, okay, now what is that? Should that send a shiver through everybody's spine or what?
Well, it should. And in order to avoid that, the leaders in Congress, especially in the Senate, need to step up and say enough is enough. We are given too much of the power that we have vested in us under the Constitution in you as a president.
Why do you suppose, since this guy really almost, I guess he ran a Republican ticket, but for lack of, he was no real Republican. Never has been. Why do you think these guys have basically bent over and kissed the mistletoe so much? Is it because he yells out and calls people out and are afraid of him or what? I think it's intimidation.
I think there's a lot of bullying there, but I also think that they believe that the trade-off is worth it. If you're a guy like Mitch McConnell, you can say that you've passed the tax act that ultimately benefits the upper class, the upper business, the richer people in the country. You can say that for the next 50 years or 30 years, we have a more conservative judicial base. And I, Mitch McConnell, am willing to give up my moral principles and cede more power to Donald Trump as an imperial president as a trade-off for the power that I have to affect the judiciary and judicial decisions for the next two generations.
Well, they've been piling guys on the appellate courts and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's Jeff Flake, if you saw that, where he says he's not going to vote for any of them anymore. And it's going to stop it till next year at least.
Well, he won't vote on them until there's a bill to pass to protect Mueller. His holding card is that.
But he's going to be gone.
He's going to be gone in January.
But he's essentially put his toe in the process for 90 days.
Well, that's right.
He did it a few weeks ago.
Which would be much more meaningful if it was the House that approved the judiciary, not the Senate. Because once he leaves, there are more Republicans and a more conservative Trump-like base in the Senate than there are now.
Yeah, one more.
Two.
Two more.
It's 53.
It was supposed to be 55, and it isn't. It turned out to be 53.
Correct. But it was 51.
Right.
And many of the Republicans who were elected are much more hardcore in the Trumpian way than the people that they're replacing. Marsha Blackburn in Tennessee is one. The Republican who won in North Dakota for Heidi Heitkamp, the guy who won in Missouri to oust Claire McCaskill, are much more hardline conservatives that will go along with this and cede more power to Trump as president than the people that they're replacing.
Why? I mean, if you're in Congress, you must think that no matter who's president, you have a job to do, and that you can't give. Why would these guys do this?
The reason they're doing it is because they wanted to get elected. They got elected by saying, "I will support Trump to the very bitter end, and I will do anything to make sure that he stays in power."
God, it sounds like 1930 Germany. God's sake.
There has been that.
I don't know. It's probably the wrong, but I mean, it's the playbook is the same. Whenever mm-hmm. you're looking for power, I mean, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you look at the way the city of Chicago is run; it's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's SP futures still up 40.75. Dow futures up 452. NASDAQ futures up 154. I would say if you were concerned about the market being too high in October and after last week's run-up and today, if you're one of those, not giving anybody advice, if you're one of those, if it says, if it ever gets back up here, I'm going to sell, at least know today's your day. whether you do it or not, it's up to you. And I'm not saying that we're not going to keep running up here. I mean, I'm not getting rid of my stuff. I'm just rolling my protection. So I'm in the middle. I can always say, well, did you get out? No, I didn't get out. I rolled my protection, which is, I got a little bit less long. Let's put it that way. It was what I can tell people. That's the beauty of being hedged, Brendan. You don't have to make an all or none decision. You can say, if your stock's 100, goes to 110, I've just rolled my puts up to the 110s. I still like my stock, okay? You don't have to make this monumentous decision. SP Futures up 40.75. Be right back, Mr. David Andelman.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. I'm Mr. Brendan Cornan. I'm Mr. David Elman. In a second, we have Jay-Z all day and all day tomorrow and Wednesday if we have a show, but Eddie Weber is in Denver. S&P futures up 40.75. Dow futures up 434. NASDAQ futures up 151. Oil up $1.95. 10-year yield 3.03, so it's up 0.02. Not much movement there. Kind of surprising with all the stuff that's flying around with all this news. DAX up 234, 2%. FTSE up 111, 1.6%. CAC around up 45.9%. Over in Asia, we've got big moves over here, too. Nikkei up 223. It's a full 1%. These other guys, way more. Shanghai up 66, 2.6%. Hang Seng up 675, 2.5%. So they're off to the races there. Remember, you know, we got 90 days before, you know, more tariffs go on them and so forth. And that's, you know, if everybody's working hard, it's probably a good thing. Although we are pretty short on detail, if you want to be a critic of what's going on. Oil up 195, that's 3.8%, 52.88. Brent up 202. Natural gas actually down 25 cents, 436. I guess the weather's getting a little warmer. RBOB gas up 5 cents to 145, but I got gas yesterday, 191. I hear there were places at 189, so I didn't get the low, but it felt low enough. David, 191, 35 gallons in the Suburban, just to eat your heart out, buddy.
No, I saw some up north by Gurnee, not 191, but 193, and I filled up for, I didn't see the 193 until it was too late, but I bought for 204.9.
That's not bad. Gold up 970, silver up 30 cents. We've got Jay-Z, what you was traffic, weather, sports, and there's this headline out of the Business Week here that Lou and I talked about a year ago with this Me Too movement, and it's starting to come to fruition. But what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports? By the way, it's raining. Just saying.
Thanks for that. Appreciate it. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 7:36. Chicago is cloudy today, as Chief just mentioned, and rain is abundant. We have snow flurries throughout the day. Today's high is 35, low 28. Phoenix is cloudy and will continue to be that way all day. Today's high is 63, low of 42. In football last night, the Bears lost to the Giants with a final score 32-27. In basketball, the Suns lost to the Lakers 120-96. And finally, the Blackhawks game ended 2-3 in favor of the Flames. No accidents to report. Back to you.
David, I have a quick question, and then we'll talk about this headline here a little bit, because I've talked about it at length with our friend Greg Rupczynski, who comes in and does our contributor once in a while, another attorney in Lou. But how is it when you see these kinds of moves? As soon as I heard Frank was nice enough to tweet me, email me, because I don't do tweets, right away that the deal that they had cut. So I said to myself, you know, self, I bet we're up 40 spoos. Sure enough, I turned the thing on at 6 o'clock. We're up 42, and we're basically up 42. I mean, how is it that everybody, we open there and we're still there? I mean, not 48, not dropped down to 35.
Maybe they're just waiting for the cash. I mean, yeah, I checked in before the futures opened, and you know, a couple clients, you know, wanted to know, geez, you know, how much will the S&P be up? And I said 50 handles, and the futures weren't open yet, and they were bid 49.5 handles before the opening. So, you know, but the 90-day window is, you know, obviously a caution flag. What's going to happen after 90 days? Is it going to go back to tug at each other's throats? Or will the gesture that China's made as far as reducing, you know, tariffs on autos and cars imported, you know, indicate that they are actually in good faith moving forward, at least on some fronts? So, you know, the market wants to wait to see how the cash responds. And don't forget, there are stuck shorts because vast majority of the talking heads, you know, were saying, oh, you know, 80% chance it's going to either be no deal or very, very light deal. And there's certainly a ton of trapped longs from 11 weeks of pain.
Well, I'm going to say that this is as close to a very little deal or no deal as there could be, because the Chinese haven't said boo yet.
I mean, I don't agree with that.
Well,
no, they said they'll immediately step up purchases of agricultural stuff, which they had gone to Brazil and is going to come back. At least that's what they claim. They've said that they'll buy more industrial things. Can Boeing please give them some more jets? They've said that they'll reduce tariffs on incoming autos and trucks, and I don't agree with that.
Well, I'm just reading headline after headline here, and
well, that's fine, but I read Reuters and Bloomberg and okay. whatever, and I read totally different headlines.
I'm just saying that I agree with what you just said is what everybody is saying, but it appears to be Trump's description of the China deal doesn't match the official White House version. Another one said Z silent on deal, so... Right now we have what Trump said, Z said, I think. It appears.
Right, we'll see.
Well, I think it's going to turn out that that's the correct version. I really do.
I don't think that China's going to back off from, you know, IP theft, at least not for a long, long, long time, and other stuff. I mean, you know, they haven't played fair for decades. They're not going to change in 3 months, I don't think, or even, you know, less in 1 week.
No, well, you're
it's going to be a process.
You're coming, you're piling into the show at the last half hour, which is fine. What you missed before was the discussion with Frank in terms of they're going to buy an awful lot of agricultural stuff.
Right.
Now, the question is, if you are sitting there with me in our soybean farm in Minnesota that's sitting there in a pile and rotten, is it going to be tomorrow we can save half of this mess, or is it going to be 2-6 months from now and we're still skunked? I mean, we're talking about stuff that's degrading, so timing and size really is of the essence, and by buying a whole bunch is not the description that you and I are going to trade at. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. I mean, and I think even if you look at soybean futures, they're up 15. You'd think they'd be up 30, 40.
I would have thought that. I assume they'd be up limit or not. I was surprised at this morning.
Right. And they've sold off 14 cents from the highs. So either they don't, you know, believe it, don't trust it, or maybe don't have it.
Yeah, I don't think you save this year. I mean, how soon are you going to get a container to somebody's farm? Not very fast.
Right.
My question to you guys, I'm going to shift gears a little bit, because we have talked with this kind of a long length with Lou, and I want your guys' opinion as, basically dudes in the business. And the Wall Street now has decided the Me Too era, and this is, I hate to predict this kind of stuff, but I just put myself in the role of somebody, like if I did have, you know, if PTI had 100 people, you know, 50 of which were women. The question is, in this day and age, would I ever send a guy and a lady on the road to see a client together? I never would. I mean, I would this is not, well, I don't think where most women want you to go, but this is the direction it's heading. And now, here's the headline in Bloomberg Business. No more dinners with female colleagues. Don't sit next to them on a plane and avoid any one-on-one meeting. And I just, as soon as this stuff started to happen, I knew this is where this is going to head, and I don't know how, if you're worried about any kind of a lawsuit or anything, I don't see how you can do it any other way, although I think it's horrible. Brendan, I don't know, this is what people are doing. This is not, we're not asking them why they're doing it, they're just saying, look, I want no part of this. I'm not sending two guys and two girls to California to see a client, it's going to be four girls or four guys.
Or two separate planes.
Or two separate planes and two different hotels. But I mean, even so, you know, you don't know. I'm saying that. How does, if you, is the older I get, the world is like silly putty. You squeeze it in one spot and it pops out somewhere else. I mean, how could this not be the conclusion for an awful lot of people?
Yeah, it seems like an overreaction, a definite overreaction.
All it takes is one.
I understand that, but it seems very silly. Because, I mean, there will often be claims, and, you know, can that same couple, that presumed couple, do anything in their home office, the city of their home office, Chicago? Or, I mean, how many times does it happen that a guy and a girl in the same company, especially at the management level, take a long lunch and come back with hair disheveled? They might have left 5 minutes apart and come back 10 minutes apart. But, you know, what is it that they can do on the road that they wouldn't do at home?
Besides the disheveled hair, you have to see if
well,
it smiles.
But people are getting rid of All I read this year is how many companies now are not having Christmas parties, or if they do, there's no booze.
That's true.
I mean, mm-hmm. and so, right, you put two people on the same plane, plunk them first class next to each other, and they're staying in the same hotel in San Francisco, and they're eating dinner together every night, and you're, mm-hmm. and you're buying all the booze you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do you not, if you're worried about one, how are you not worried about the other?
I agree. That's my point. That what is it that you would do here in Chicago that you wouldn't do?
Well, what I'm saying here they're making sure it's not happening either.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're not sending three women and three guys to the same skybox to drink all night. You're not doing it.
That's true. But I think the circumstances of the availability of alcohol, for example, which fuels a lot of this, has been cut down by a lot of companies for holiday parties, etc. But, you know, the same thing is true if there's a close working relationship. I'll give you an example. In many law firms, there are some law firms that are known for liaisons, and it's a situation where you'll have men and women who are working on the same transaction where whether it's a big trial or a big corporate transaction where they're working 68 hours a week for months at a time in close proximity to each other. No alcohol involved, no drugs involved, not necessarily out-of-town trips, but it's a close proximity of the two people that lead to the liaisons.
Well, as one matures, you never know. Everybody still has eyes and likes to look, I guess, but you would hope that the attraction is more than, wow, who's ever inside those blue jeans looks pretty good. I mean, you hope it evolves past that, but I mean, when you in a law firm, when you make somebody work 60 hours a week, they have no outside life.
That's true.
And oh, by the way, if they're on a trial with somebody and the trial's not going so hot and you see somebody with you, male or female, that A, manages to take whatever hits keep coming and are still nice to people around them and seem to handle stress pretty well and aren't so bad looking, of course you're going to be attracted. Why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's way smarter than finding somebody at a bar, jumping, standing on the bar stool, doing a dance. I mean, right?
I agree.
Although,
if you have somebody in a bar stool that you find attractive doing a dance, that's less likely to have impact in your work environment and bringing a suit.
But I'm saying, you like to see how people, especially as you get older, how they react in certain situations, whether you want to spend time with them or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously the older you get, the more you realize it's more the time you spent with somebody, and hopefully the other stuff's fine too, right? It's not the other way around.
Well, that's true. Yeah. And the point of it is that if you have two consenting adults, then you've got two consenting adults for whatever, and they've got to pay the consequences. You know, if both of them are married, then they've got to face the consequences of a liaison. But oftentimes it also comes down to a question of power. If you've got a partner and a young associate, whichever one is the male and the female, or two consenting adults for it, are they willing to think through the consequences of their action, both for themselves, their personal relationships,
or ask
outside,
for transfer,
right? And that's why a lot of companies say that they do not allow dating between people in the same company, especially if they're at different levels or if one is reporting to the other in a chain of command.
Well, what I'm saying is the lawsuits are they always go after the company,
mm-hmm.
which is
sure because there's more money.
That's for more money, and you know the legal profession has kind of jam this to one end or the other. But I couldn't believe this headline, but I'm not surprised that some companies just say, look, I don't want any part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I'm never going to be in that lawsuit before anybody. Because I think there's a lot of them that settle, for the $50,000-$100,000 cost of stuff all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want no part of that. I'm just, so David, this one's, we sort of predicted it. We thought that, I never thought they'd come out at a weekend with nothing. Did you?
No, I don't know what I thought, but I thought something positive would come out.
Now, the harder question.
I think this, in hindsight, probably was the most likely, even though, again, the talking head said, no, minimally he's going to raise to 25% on the existing goods, maybe delay on the new goods, and that was kind of like the majority of the folks, but you had to say to yourself, to me, I'm not going to lie, I just it was scary, it was wicked, and if they came out with nothing or angry or worse, you know, more tariffs or whatever, I didn't really buy the market. I bought a little bit or whatever. But my thought was the penalty for being short and wrong was worse than the penalty for being long and wrong.
I would agree.
Because it was already built in.
The only thing that was the question is, I be honest, David, this has nothing to do with whether you're right or wrong or made the right prediction. I'm going to say this is, with a couple of details one way or the other, this is exactly what I thought was going to happen. The man has,
I think that was smart, and I wish I would have talked to you Friday, because I needed a little bit more confidence.
Actually, you know what though, David? I would have screwed the pooch though for you, because I would have said that it's so obvious that the man has never come out of one of these big meetings, be it Korea, be it anything that maybe didn't even follow through. He's never come out of one, Canada or whatever, even though he's fighting with the guy 6 months later, where he didn't do a terrific job in the meeting and come out with something.
How about North Korea? I mean, they did stop testing, but
not only did he come out with something, but he came out with the best thing.
We had a great deal, and we're working towards whatever. They did stop testing, so they had something. And you know, they've talked to South Korea and they've talked to Japan, but what did he come out with that? Nothing.
Well, as you know, as a money manager, I should be like one of the people on CNBC, but I can't do that. I'm too honest. I should have said, I knew it exactly was going to happen, come down like this. But you know what I would have told you, David? I would have said, it's so damn obvious, if I could figure it out, that the 600 points on Thursday is probably enough. And when he does it, we'll just be up a little bit because everybody knew this was going to happen.
Anecdotally, Cramer's a constant bull. He had 80% chance that it was going to be negative for the market. 80%.
Oh, I never believed that for a second. But right now, we got nothing. We got a delay.
In the scheme of things, a delay and baby steps.
Yeah.
I'm not buying this rally, don't get me wrong. I would use it as an opportunity edge. And on a technical basis, leaving a large gap, even if the market's good, you should retest 2750 in the December S&P future, which is 4550 handles down. So the market should go down, even if it's bullish. So I'm not making a case for buying the rally, but I just think the way that, you know, just the market felt, it was obvious to you, and hopefully you acted. It was obvious to me. I acted very, very little, but nevertheless, you know, I just think that it surprised a lot of folks.
Well, it's a lot easier to predict what XYZ's earnings are going to be than to predict what the market reaction to the earnings are going to be.
Right.
I thought this was going to be the outcome. I thought the 600 points on Thursday was that everybody knew what I knew or thought. I mean, I thought we'd be up 100 today or something, not 400. But here's the thing that thinks I'm now to my, I will say, now I think it might be a little bit of a fade, David, is because this guy wanted this done before the election. No way, no friggin' way are they even close. So 90 days is not going to help them.
Well, and if you think on that same thought process, 90 days puts you right in the heart of the beginning of the 2020 campaign, and so the Chinese, you know, stall or take very little baby steps until then, and then see how the beginning of the 2020 campaign goes. And if it's not, you know, good for Trump, which it very well may not be, with a divided Congress, then they stall out more and, oh, we really didn't say that, or we didn't mean this, or sorry about intellectual property, not going to happen. So, yeah, a lot of bad things can happen in 90 days.
Well, and I'll say again, I don't want to belabor this one, maybe I already have. I don't think the reason why intellectual property is not solvable now is because we don't know what we want.
Well, and like you pointed out when we discussed it last week, each case is totally different. You got thousands of different items, and they're different aspects.
And I don't think we're going to put a blanket, Chinese can't buy companies here. If you don't do that, every time you buy a company, guess what? You bought the place.
Or you know, oh, by the way, that Boeing aircraft that you bought, we prohibit you from going into the electronics and the circuitry.
Right.
Yeah, that won't happen.
No, so I mean, unless we know what we want, unless we essentially, here's a list you can't sell. And granted, well, we're probably always not going to care if they pay up for a golf course here. If they're going to pay too high, sell out somebody cheaper 5 years later, like Pebble Beach. But
the Japanese could teach them a thing or two about that, whether it's art or golf courses.
Well, yeah. I mean,
all right, but still, you're missing the obvious solution to that from the Chinese standpoint. Even if there was a blanket prohibition that no Chinese corporation could buy an American corporation, there are subsidiary corporations. The Chinese company buys a Swiss company or a UK company, and that buys the American company.
Right.
How far down or up the chain do you go legislatively to try to resolve a problem?
I'm going to say that our people collectively, now individually, I don't think I've ever seen a stupid human being. I don't think there is one. Collectively, we can be really, really stupid. You're talking, when you say that to us, Brennan, you have no idea the deep felt. We have firms that will advertise on TV that they don't internalize order flow. Like when Bernie Madoff was doing it and all the other firms said there's money in this, I won't say the names of them, five of them got together and bought a company that they sent the order flow to and then split it up.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, now to me, that's appalling, and I think that's where you're coming from. Our people in the SEC, our people in Congress, are way too stupid to have any idea how much people get around this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what? I'm not going to say they're too stupid, because I think they want to be the one that can get around it or something. Because they leave open just enough to where the right person can get around it and exclude other people. To me.
I agree with that. One of the most specious arguments that I've heard when somebody is being challenged, especially on things that are morally or ethically questionable in the corporate world, what's the number one response? Well, we follow the law.
Yeah.
And it's legal. Now, it may be, but if you're the guy writing the law, then you know in advance what you want to get away with, and you will write the law to allow an exemption for your company or your idea. Now, if you're smart, you're going to do something that you're going to change the law that will benefit you a year or 2 years from now, so people don't see that nexus. But if you're the one who is enough, like lobbyists, if you are able to put something into the provision of the law, yes, it's legal. But it's legal because you're the one who drafted and put it in there for your own benefit.
Well, that's right. Well, why can you do the double Dutch sandwich? Because somebody put it in there. Well, who put it in there? You did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there's a real quick, we only have like a minute and a half, but it's kind of somewhat of an interesting, I won't say moral question, but pretty close. With the passing of John McCain and George Bush, we don't have those guys around anymore. He goes, in general, they felt a higher calling to the people than they did to themselves in general, which isn't to say that they didn't do okay themselves. They did. They said, we know who we were. Question is, who the hell are we? Who are we going to become? We don't see that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which is the blip? Are they the blip, or is right now our little mess we're in, is this the blip?
I hope that this is the blip that we're in now, that we really are a better people as a society, where we look for the common good more than the immediacy of a transaction and a win today.
Who are we going to put someplace? And I really do think it starts from the top. I mean, George Bush Sr. really did think that the president was the moral leader of the country. Franklin Roosevelt certainly did. We have a guy now who I don't think he knows what a moral is. He's amoral, which is, I think is more dangerous than immoral, actually. But I don't think he has any idea that when he lobs one out that it's even anything wrong with it. Which is scary.
I agree with that.
The question is who gets that spot when? Where it says, no, I'm not doing that as president. I don't get to do that. I mean, mm-hmm. Do you see anybody on the horizon, male, female, black, white, green? I don't care what color, what gender.
Unfortunately, I do not.
David, any hope here, bud?
Mark Cuban.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Oh, God. On that thought.
Well, you got to be a billionaire. Hey, look at our governorships. Oh, got to be a billionaire to run anymore.
I suppose. David, make a few good trades today. It could be you. What's a couple of billion? What's the difference? SP Futures up 40. Dow Futures up 434. Be back tomorrow. Stacks and Jacks.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.